Hello and welcome to episode 282, Shrug, of Crippled System.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 282.
282.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Prime, but a palindrome, which is even better. Palindromes are the best.
Except for Paladrome Primes. Paladrome Primes.
Well, sure. I mean, they're double the best. Yeah. If you had a happy prime palindrome, that would be the super best. But I don't know how many of those exist, and I'm going to Google it as soon as I finish saying, my name's Nathan.
You have a happy magic palindrome?
Stop it. I'm already dead. Anyway, my name is Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
There you go.
I'm Dan.
I'm Andy.
And with us today is special guest Faye from Privateer Press.
Oh, Andy, we need a chat.
Yeah, bring up the chat window. We need to see who else is here with us. Oh, I mean, not that looking at Catbug doesn't make me happy inside. But so the fun thing is that Faye's behind us so that the people watching can see her, but it's awkward for me. I want to talk, but she's just behind me. Oh, I can look over Andy's screen. Okay, yeah. I'm used to looking at the chat window.
Oh, I just want to try to see his website.
So, while Andy works on that, so Faye is here, as was not so subtly hinted in various locations, to chit-chat a little bit. We were lucky enough to be chosen as one of the content creators that Privateer Press is going to discuss some details with. Do we want to do, like, some local announcements or anything first, or go right into the star of the show? Do we have any local announcements?
WITC is August 24th.
Correct. Yeah.
Three-man War Machine tournament, singles Guild Ball tournament. Check the ATC website for details.
Yep. Yep.
How many teams do we have registered so far?
Not exactly sure. But the funny thing with that is there's a lot of... We had like a million teams that asked us when registration would open. Mm-hmm. And then registration's opened and none of those teams register because they're all discussing. But all those teams continue to message me asking if anybody else has registered because they're worried that it'll fill up before they register. And I'm like, well, why don't you just register then?
Yeah, it's like, give us 20 bucks, you hold your slot, whatever.
It's this giant just staring contest with 20 teams that aren't registering. But as soon as one of them registers, they're all going to register. It's just bizarre. But yeah, that's August 24th. Registration is open. Nothing apart from that coming up.
Are they just sitting and deciding to see if the Canadians are coming and just not bothering if they are?
Nuts to that.
I mean,
beat those Canadians.
Besides, the food is good enough. Who cares?
Exactly.
So by food, you mean blind Russians?
I mean, some of us don't drink, so we eat the food at the Elks Lodge and get the same effect.
I have at least two Egg McMuffins in the morning to absorb my blind Russians.
Yeah. If you can, have an event at an Elks Lodge because they will treat you right. They know how to mix a drink and how to make greasy pub food. And it's all
undercharge
cheap.
You for both of them.
Yes, they will woefully undercharge you for both of them. I feel so guilty with the amount of food and alcohol we get from those people.
The WITC, a drinking event by Wisconsin standards.
Yes.
I was going to say, did we drink amount of alcohol last year, or is that just the first year?
That was 2 years ago. We drank them out of Kahlua. And so last year they stocked up. They had like a keg of Kahlua in preparation of us.
Two people drank them out of Kahlua. One was the majority winner in that, and that was John Damaris.
Yeah, Damaris, he came, he drank like four blind Russians, and then he slept in his car for the rest of the event, pretty much. Not a lie. But yeah, so good fun. You can also come and not drink. It's technically allowed. Dan does it every year. So
correct.
Don't let us scare the teetotalers away. But yeah, so I think that's all for announcements so that we can jump right in and let the star of the show kind of start to talk about things.
Yeah.
I forgot.
So... not a lot of people probably know me. I was at this most recent log mode. I've been working with the dev team for about a year now, and I'm kind of the part-time. I do all the part-time work in dev, so I know a lot of what's going on, and I tend to playtest in all the games. So, you know, I know a lot about all the systems, and I can't tell you everything, so deal with that.
Yeah, so a lot of our questions the Zappity Grumbles that were for this episode might get my attorney has authorized me to not speak about that at this time, but that's life.
I had to literally pull out the like FBI cannot confirm or deny on one of my posts. I'm like, oh God, guys, stop reading so much into what I said.
That's probably one of the advantages of being one of the lesser known, you know, because you're so new Privateer staffers, is that lock and load, you weren't just being bombarded with people demanding everything from you.
I mean, it's fine. I saw Jeff, someone asked a rule question on Facebook a few days ago. Jeff answered it, and then someone asked for Travis to answer it.
Oh, that's hilarious. I mean, Travis is technically the final word on those things. Like, we kind of had this really weird thing where Travis gets to answer the question, and then if we ever disagree with Travis, we just change the rule. Yeah. Instead of forcing him to rule in a different way.
Because he'll always be correct about the current rule. It's really weird.
It's a weird relationship. But okay, so we've got a few things to talk about. What do you guys want to talk about first? We've got Will Work for Food, we've got Power of Dunia, and I have a Monpok spoiler because I know some of you guys are super into Monpok too. So,
oh, Monpok spoiler, make Nathan happy.
I'll let everybody else make the decision on that because I'm going to be messing with the other laptops to try to make sure everything's running okay.
I want Power of Dunia second because that way, as a Minions player and a Monpok player, I'll get one of the things I care about first, and then I can trolls, and then I can get the other thing I want about last.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, why don't we start with Monpok then? Because I was going to go ahead and talk about Sergeant Titanica because a lot of people don't know a ton about her, and she's a really interesting model that, barring epic catastrophe, will be at Gen Con.
She's going to be the RAM model this year, right?
Epic catastrophe. What's up?
She's going to be the RAM model this year?
She will. So she's going to get a beer RAM model, and then just like we did with Brugrosh, like 6 months from now, she'll get a regular model. Don't quote me on exactly 6 months, like approximately.
Nope, too late, legally binding.
Yeah, that's right. It won't be immediate.
The move won't screw up any of those.
If you
want
to play with Titanica, you will have to get her at a convention or through Privateer Press store for at least a little while.
Sure.
But yeah. So I was going to go and chit chat about her. So she's a little bit of a different monster. The very first time that I heard about Sergeant Titanica, because we don't get the concept art immediately. So it was me and Oz talking about, all right, 50-foot-tall woman, what does she do? We kept on throwing back and forth ideas, but like immediately in the back of my head, I thought super butch, like maybe femme butch lesbian that has gotten so much marine training that she can just throw anyone across the room wherever she wants.
Sure.
So I went with like, I kind of pushed for, and we ended up there of like a very conservative, very tactical fighter. So she plays a little different from the ninjas, but she's kind of got something going on there too. She ends up with defense 9 in both forms. She's speed 7, but she doesn't have high mobility. So she doesn't, she's not quite as jumpy as the ninjas. But then she's also just a very conservative fighter. So in alpha, she's got reposition and she's got energy cycle, but she has no like range attack. And then in hyper, also in alpha, she has a new ability that we're adding, which is whenever she brawls, she gets to reroll one white die in her brawl attack. And then in her hyper, she loses reposition, gains that reroll in all of her attacks, and gives that reroll out to everyone within 3. So everybody starts rerolling, and it's per participant, so you get a lot of rerolls. It becomes very, very powerful. Rerolling white dice is a lot more powerful than people think it is, especially when you're just rerolling one white die.
Oh, absolutely. But,
yeah, she's very interesting. She also probably has one of the most powerful movement abilities in the game. In hyper, she can command any unit on the table, not faction, because she's Green Fury, and there's not going to be any Green Fury units for a while. So she doesn't do anything faction dependent. So she can command any unit on the table to move 2 spaces.
Allied unit, or can she just give a command to some poor soul to walk right into the fire?
Allied.
Sure.
She can move anybody, it's very powerful, right? Because you've usually got like really stringent area effect restrictions on being able to move people. But she doesn't move people as far, but she can move anyone. So the way that I've been playing her, she ends up to be this very like tactical monster where you end up having to kind of hit and run and move around the board and maintain a lot of this like really synergy that she ends up doing a lot. So she's pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, and like you were saying, that the reroll, since it's an aura, it's going to affect everybody around within three. So for like combined attacks, you could be rerolling 3, 4, 5 white dice, you know, from all the units participating, right?
No, sorry, I might have misspoke. It's not participating. It's an attack. So you just get one reroll.
Okay, sure. Because yeah. It's not like each of the it's not like commander where each of the units would benefit. It's just going to affect one die from the attack. No, that would make sense. I mean, how many times do you miss by one strike?
It's not participating. It's just attacking. Yeah. So no matter what, only one person is affected.
Yeah, I guess that would have been greedy. It still sounds good. Yeah. So you kept bringing up the ninjas, so I assume that she's in the protector faction as well, or the protection agenda.
Yeah, she's a good guy. She's Green Fury.
Excuse you.
We haven't.
As a Martian player, I would say that good guy versus bad guy is all in your mind, and we're just trying to bring peace to this planet
by destroying.
Listen, yeah, she's the home team. Good guy, bad guy is a little more nebulous.
Yeah, to quote Oz, the protectors are the people that want to keep the world the same, and the destroyers are the people that want to change the world.
Yeah,
right.
Stagnation versus
that's
dynamism.
That's really what the difference is.
Yeah. There you go. See, so it's revolutionary. We're trying to change the world, you know, arguably for the better. It depends on how much you like your cities being burned to the ground.
Well, and yeah, it also depends if you like the moleverse, right? If you want your entire area to just be filled with moles and tunnels and stuff.
Yeah. You know, and like squicks have feelings too.
Do they?
Do they?
Well, I assume as much, maybe not.
Yeah. More importantly, can we understand their feelings?
Wow, rude. No, probably that sounds good. Defense 9, obviously. I am so jealous about that because it's kind of like the defense troll joke where they're all defense 12. As a destroyer, every single monster is defense 8 in its alpha. So people ask, what's your defense? Oh, never mind, your destroyers. And then they'll just roll their dice. So those defense 9s just make me really sad inside.
I think we spoiled the name of the next. I'm 99% we spoiled the name of the next. Uber Core unit, which is Mecha Maxim. So you will have a Defense 9 model.
Ooh.
Almost certainly.
Yeah. That makes me happy now. Yeah. That makes me happy. I'll enjoy that. And I won't I'll wait until next time I see Oz to plead my case about Robo or Carnotrons. You don't need to hear me.
You know, I heard your discussion about Carnotrons. Why are you down on Carnotrons?
I mean,
I'm actually really curious.
You know.
Why not is really the better question for Nathan.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they just have literally the worst stat line for any melee unit and the worst stat line for any ranged unit, and their special ability is that you can waste all your dice twice as fast. But I guess they fill a niche.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. They do fill a niche, right? That is a thing that we have to decide with the design process is filling niches. But I don't know.
If they rolled dice in play for the second attack, I think they'd be a lot more viable. But maybe I'm just a pessimist. But if you didn't have to pay for that second attack, if it was a dice in play, I think they'd be a really sweet unit. But, man, it's just so expensive to try to attack twice with those guys.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can't do dice in play because their gun just can't be as good. Because they can have two attacks, their gun can't be as good as their attack. It's just that's not a possible. But, I had a lot of instances where they became a very powerful defensive unit where they would sit in control structure. And then if anybody ever came over, you got to punch the heck out of them because you really only needed two of them to do it. Yeah. Right.
Because the key is if you have to spawn a bunch of them, then you're too low on dice to attack twice. So like you're saying, if they're defensive and they're guarding your home space and somebody comes into you and you've already have 3 or 4 of them, then you have those dice to spare on the two attacks.
Yeah. I mean, that's their ability. That's their primary mechanism. And then obviously you've got they shouldn't be doing the exact same thing as the ninjas, because the ninjas need to be the ones that are fast, that get out there, that punch things across the board. Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, that design space, it is unfortunate, but we do fall into that problem. And we fiddled with the Carnotrons a lot. And we just couldn't. Dual attack, I think, is what it ended up getting called because it has to be a unit version.
You are right.
We keep on having to make new rules that are just for units because, like, they do the same exact thing as lightning attack, but technically there's like one different word in the rule, so we have to make a unit version.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's perfect. All right. That sounds very interesting. Titanica. I don't see necessarily anything from chat asking more details about Titanica. I see a lot of Protector fan boying / fangirling, cheerleading. That's what I'm looking for. So those people are all dumb and wrong. But, you know, more power to them.
You got to be against the host, right? That's the rule, right?
That's true. That's true. Chat never the bad agrees guy. With hosts. Yeah, but I think because Andy's spoiler image had a lot of troll blood symbols, so a lot of people are probably tuning in for that power of Dunia.
Yeah, it had no troll blood symbols.
Oh, two troll blood symbols.
No,
they were so subtle.
No, it was just the crippled system logo with new gears.
Oh, okay. I must have been imagining things.
I wait. I'm gonna scroll. Nope, I'm pretty sure those are troll blood symbols right there.
maybe
we should talk about trolls? I don't know.
All right, we got excitement for the troll. We got all caps in chat for the trolls, so let's hear some troll spoilers.
Okay, so did you guys put up the... Hopefully, did you guys put up the...
I'm going to schedule... I have to jump into the scheduled posts, and it will be going up in a second.
All right.
And then I'm also going to post it on to the chat, too.
Cool.
Perfect. So, yeah, we'll get all the image up so they can see it, but you can definitely go over it.
So the first thing that we can talk about, well, that's going on, is RuneShapers are 8 points now. They're down 1 point. We talked about making them 7 points. It was a discussion, but not at this time. So here's my spiel to everyone, right? Well, we're fresh. A lot of the changes that we made for the Oblivion, you know, I don't know, change. We wanted it to be a light touch, right? We wanted to just do as little as possible, touch the models that are, you know, the bottom of the bottom and the top of the top, right? And just a few. And we wanted to hit every single faction so that people didn't feel faction bias. So we did. There are changes in every single faction except for Crucible Guard and Infernals.
Sure. Although Infernals existing is a change for Infernals, so that kind of counts.
But if I say that, somebody will be like, what? There's no Crucible Guard changes?
Sure.
Yeah, they're a year old. There's no Crucible Guard changes.
As a Crucible Guard player, I am happy going to the requisition system because literally before the requisition point system was announced, I was putting a list together and thinking, I really want to fit in an extra solo into this. And then after the requisition point system was announced, it's like, wow, this list is so much better now that I get Hutchuck in addition to everything else I had before.
Correct. My medium-based infantry are no longer the worst choice I can make mathematically.
Yeah.
And I can play a combined arms list in a combined arms faction. Well,
as a CG player, I mean, I am not salty about not getting anything because CG list design has been an issue because you want to drop free cards in every list you put together, and going to requisitions makes it a lot nicer.
Correct. Like, universally, the requisition system love, I think, or the requisition change is being loved by everybody because, you know, not to bash on the current mechanics of the game, but, you know, talk about why changes like this is exciting, is it was frustrating to feel like you were obligated to play a theme force because if you weren't, you were down 20 points. And then once you picked a theme force, because of you wanted to maximize your free stuff, which meant that you had to take as many points as possible in the things that gave you free stuff, which meant that now 90% of your list was defined. And then once you got your free stuff, you wanted to maximize how many free points you were getting, so your other 10% of your list was defined, which then felt like everybody was playing the same thing, which was frustrating to play against. And it also meant you were punished if you tried to be creative, so it's frustrating to play with. And this requisition change throws all of that out the window and opens up so much just options for how to build lists. It's just so wonderful.
Yeah, I also feel like the requisition change hopefully will end up getting people to go in directions they don't expect, because a lot of what has been happening in the meta for the last few years has been kind of stagnation, right? The same types of lists and nobody really exploring outside of those lists.
Yeah. Because they were punished, you know, just straight up points if they did so. And it just is such a a human emotional need to get maximum optimization, you know? Sure. And so, yeah, I could drop this one unit for this other unit, but then I'm losing a free solo, which means I'm down 5 points, which means I'm already losing, right?
Yeah. I mean, and it took, you know, like when I sit down and I make a list, depending if it's for playtest, I'm just told, here's the faction you're playing, make a list. But like if it's for casual games, right, when I sit down, I always think, okay, what do I want to accomplish with this list? And then I don't really care about the free points. I want to get one or two. And that's kind of how I felt about it. And it really let me explore and do really weird lists that people never expect. Like I have this really weird Kalandra list that is the best list I've ever seen at assassinating. And nobody expects it, right? Nobody expects the turn to assassination from Kalandra.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. And it's just, it's fun to do different stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I think Andy has the lists. Do you have both of them up on the screen right now, Andy, or just Dooney and Knot?
I just have Dooney and Knot. I don't have the other one. No. We haven't announced the other one yet.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'm so sorry. You have
everybody.
Yeah. So Dooney and Knot is up on the screen for chat to see, so you don't even have to, like, you know, go over exactly what it is. They can read along, and you can just start talking about stuff.
Yeah, so there's one thing that I wanted to be sure that I remembered.
So the Runeshapers to 8 was what you got to mention so far.
Yeah, Runeshapers to 8. Oh, a bunch of people were asking about what Janissa is going to get instead of a hill.
Yep.
She still gets a hill. It's just not called a hill. It's a 4-inch bubble that gives everyone +2 defense if they're inside and arcing fire.
Okay. Okay.
She still gets a hill.
So that's basically kind of how Siege is fixed then, too, for like Foxhole.
Okay.
Probably. That's how it, I would assume.
In theory, one can assume such a thing with no confirming or denying, right?
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting because when she was giving the hill bonus, it wasn't affected by Blessed, but this bonus probably is affected by Blessed, so it's simultaneously worse and better. So it's kind of an interesting, like, it doesn't seem like any change happened, but it is kind of interesting.
A question from a chat and then a question in my head. Is it just +2 defense against ranged only then?
Yeah.
So it is full on, it's hill rules. And then she had, forgive me if this was a Mark II thing and I'm just behind the times, I haven't played Trolls since Mark II. Did she have the restriction where she couldn't put it under people?
Yes, and I'm 99% certain that restriction is gone. I did copy and paste the text, but I have to open up my my email. So let me do that, and I will check it.
But yeah, that's Phil such an elegant solution. Just hills are out of the game, but she makes a hill. Deal with it. She makes a hill that models don't fall off of and ruin game state.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is no restriction for her placing the 4-inch AoE anymore. She places it wherever she wants. It doesn't matter if there's something under it.
Sure. Well, that's pretty cool. It can probably overlap terrain and everything, right? Yeah, no restriction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just, she puts it wherever she wants.
Awesome.
Now maybe somebody will buy my extra Janessa for me.
Probably. she's good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, with the changes to Power of Dunia, a lot of Power of Dunia lists that I've been playing with have had 3 units of Runeshapers. And I've been playing a ton of Power of Dunia over the last few months because I had to playtest the Dunian Archon. So obviously, that was Power of Dunia or Pharaoh. So I was playtesting it mostly there. And if I actually started the Power of Dunia or the Dunian Archon started out completely differently and it was super unfun. But for a while there, I was fielding 6 units of Runeshapers and it was the least fun game ever. Mm-hmm. So we did away with that. What's up?
No, Andy was laughing.
Yeah, sorry.
Thought I heard something. But yeah, so Power of Dunia keeps its bonuses. It's mostly the same. The one significant difference is that the Dunian Knot is free, which I spoiled in my Insider. And the Dunian Archon is specifically named, so yay. The other thing that I was going to, yeah. The other thing that I was going to spoil here is that Boomhowler and Blythe and Bull are both partisan Trollbloods now. So they work in all the Trollbloods list and they end up in the KC list. because KC says troll blood units with ranged weapons, since they're partisan troll bloods, they are troll blood units with ranged weapons. So they don't require a minion choice in KC, and in all the other themes, they are faction. Another thing that I was going to discuss is that a lot of what goes into Power of Dunia is war beasts, and war beasts are much, much harder to balance, especially in a faction as big as trolls, right? Really, any of the factions. In like Pharaoh, where it's kind of a small sub-faction, we can do a lot of quick changes. But changing the fundamental way that war beasts work or their point values is very dangerous in trolls because it will cause a lot of effects that we can't necessarily see quickly. So don't expect to see a lot of changes to war beasts. There are two, which I won't spoil, but don't expect like all the lights to go down by a point or something like that.
Sure. Well, I think in general, troll war beasts were all right. I don't know if was there any like commonly complained about ones.
The elementals were the ones that were complained about the most. But even then, I think this change, the requisition change, once again helps a lot of that. Sure. Because they were the ones that you'd want to take in like a mixed arms list, and that just didn't work in the old system.
Yeah, well, that's the big thing I like about the requisition system overall. Yeah. Is that combined arms works now, and in the prior theme regime, it was really set up that you either were full battle group or minimal battle group, and nothing in between.
Quick question though, this is from Andy. Does this mean that Boom Howler 2 will be able to play in trolls?
Yeah, Boom Howler 2 is also partisan, and he can hand out his beautiful, beautiful reposition to everyone, including Ruin Shapers, and I hear they're pretty good with reposition.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. Ooh.
One of the chat members did mention a couple troll blood beasts that they thought were a little overpriced, but both of those are ranged beasts, so with the hill change, they probably will have their stock go up just because of that, passively. Yeah.
Well, and I remember I've been listening to a lot of the spoiler podcasts this week, and I think it was Hungerford. I don't remember exactly who it was. One of the devs made a mention of, you know, before we get too clamoring for, oh, where's all my changes? Like, the game has changed fundamentally. Like, let's see what happens over 3 months.
Let the dust settle.
Yeah, you don't want to do this massive requisition change and change every single model in the game, because you kind of have to do one thing at a time to isolate the changes.
That's definitely something worth talking about and something worth stressing, is that the requisition point era is a huge change to the way lists are designed, mm-hmm. and changes to the way lists are designed changes the balance of the entire game. And Privateer Press has said before that this isn't going to be the last of the changes, and there are going to be further substantial balance updates following this.
Correct.
So,
and as a software dev who has lived through the waterfall development effort, thank you for not changing everything at once.
Yeah. Yeah. So nobody,
those days sucked.
So, I mean, anybody that is concerned that not enough is going to change, give it some time, because we really don't want everything to change at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have been not as happy with Crow Company and really the Power of Dunia. I'm guessing that people won't be, because there's not a ton changing. You know, the fact of the matter is we gotta wait some time. We gotta look at the meta. We gotta examine. We can't playtest 10,000 games, right? It's not reasonably possible for us to do that.
Right.
But guess what? Who can playtest 10,000 games? The entire community, right?
Yep.
You know, we've gotta wait.
Yep. And there's, so. I mean, even though there's not technically any changes, the requisition itself is a huge change for that list, for any of the lists out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I played trolls, I would hit a Power of Dunia list with 58 points, or what was it? It was beast points before, right?
Yeah.
Where it was like, I would be like four points short of the third free card, like all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that math was always the worst. Yeah. Well, cool.
Yeah, and getting the Dunia Knot for free with the Serenity, and also donating Archons for free, because they're amazing. They have Shepherd's Call and, you know, ignoring a dice roll of damage and all of that kind of stuff. And they're just all of those free options that the Power of Dunia gets access to are just a ton of really useful support models that you don't have to pay for. Still got to pay for your stone, but you always have to pay for your stone.
We'll find a way to survive with paying for the stone. And paying for the stone doesn't eat into your war beast points. That's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. Well, perfect.
Yeah, I mean, people always, I always never understand why people short that stone, because it's the primary way around stealth and corporeal, and you need that 11 inches, right? Like,
never underestimate.
I get so angry when I see people
of inches.
running a short stone in a shooting list, and I'm like, what are you doing? Don't pay the 3 points. Do it.
Oh, beautiful. Anything else Power of Dunia or related, or do we get to listen to the faction that all good and wholesome people care about yet?
No.
I mean, that's pretty much it. That's Power of Dunia. Any other troll questions out there?
I think there were some in the Zappity Grumbles, but we'll get to those at the end when we go into that lightning question and answer round.
Yeah, which is going to be very awesome. Fast.
Excuse you. We have to spend a lot of time on pigging for the winning. That didn't work out, but listen.
Wilbur for Food is super interesting. So did you guys post it? Did we get the horrible feedback of where's my -2 speed yet?
I am going to go ahead and post it into the chat, and then I'll make the Facebook post right after that.
Perfect. Minion time.
So the first thing everyone is going to notice is Warbees don't get +2 speed on the first turn.
Right.
I'm sorry. It was too much. They were too fast. They got up the board, and it was quite a nuisance. In general, we wanted to slow down that first turn interaction, right? That was a goal with removing a lot of the +2 deployment zones, the advanced moves, these +2 speed. We really wanted to not so much slow down the first turn, but just make the first turn on both sides a little bit more about building up and getting ready and positioning. We also wanted to remove, in as many cases as possible, first turn, top of one shenanigans, right? Accidentally being able to kill somebody in the top of one, right? We really don't want that to happen ever. So that's a lot of why we ended up removing some of those effects.
Which is perfect. I mean, every time something like that came up, everybody hated it. So that's the right choice.
Well, and the will work for food is particularly egregious, because if you went first, it was an amazing, and if you went second, you were just feeding your army if you ever used it.
Yeah, it was a coin flip, either useless or broken.
Yep.
And they did get a benefit in exchange for it. They lesser warlocks can all upkeep for free, which is quite the boon for lesser warlocks, because they don't have very much fury. Yeah. So,
as a conversation Nathan and I were having ahead of time, who all has it? Oh, Rorsch has an upkeep spell? I've never seen that used.
I think it's just Wrong Eye that doesn't have an upkeep spell. I think they all have one, other than him.
Correct. Yeah, they do. But again, you know, Dan's been playing since forever and is pretty knowledgeable about everything's abilities, and he had no clue Rorsch had an upkeep spell. Yeah. And he's played against me with Rorsch dozens of times, and it's Rick because my Fury Warlock isn't going to cast a 2 Fury upkeep spell and then pay for it for the rest of the game. He just can't.
When he uses 3 Fury a turn, shooting my ass.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So,
but now he can upkeep it, so he actually gets his freaking spell.
Yeah. And it's Dahlia as well, like being able to upkeep that Pathfinder and not have to worry about casting it and shuffling around. That is such a beautiful benefit. I love it.
Yeah, it's a much more useful benefit, and it really ends a lot of the shenanigans that Will Work for Food had. But it also, you know, Will Work for Food had that very powerful effect of being halfway across the table on turn one. And it just doesn't anymore. So it's going to feel like a very different list. And that's good and bad, and I understand that. We'll see how the meta analyzes it.
Yeah, and then the free efforts. 3 Feral Geist solos as a requisition option, I think, is really interesting. Because you're going to be such a beast-heavy list.
Yeah. They're really great at taking objectives, just like Gremlin Swarms. You know, they've got a lot of going for them. I love some of the kind of weirder requisition options that we've added to some of these same lists.
Yeah, because like you said, they open up options that hasn't been what people have been doing in the past. Like, nobody was bringing 3 Feral Geist with Will Work for Food, right? But now you look at it and you go, actually, that might be kind of interesting.
Love Feral Geist in general. I mean, they're just a nice, they're almost like a tough check for your... for your beasts.
Yeah. Also, like the 2 ghost snipers in Legions of Dawn was one of those I looked at and was like, okay, now I think I'm going to play these in a lot of lists. Mm-hmm. And before they were hard to fit in, but for 2 of them for a requisition option, they look really good.
Yeah, I can see people, like a lot of people have one unit of Dunian Knot, but they don't have two. So I can see a lot of people getting that second unit of Dunian Knot and just having way too many F and rerolls.
Yeah, that's...
So,
is there anything...
one thing that I was totally going to talk about with Will Work for Food is with Riot Quest on its way, there are literally 12 models coming out in the next year or so for Will Work for Food. All of them work for Will Work for Food. So they're getting so much new stuff, and it's going to be really interesting. And hopefully with most of those are solos, with the requisition options, they become free and very interesting. And I'm hoping that people will really like a lot of these weird models that we've been producing.
Yeah, well, because just the minion solos, just full stop, all minion solos allowed is such an interesting aspect, right? It's not just like Pharaoh solos or anything like that. Just if you're a minion, you're in. Have fun. Yeah. So like I said, all those Riot Quest models, hop on in the pool. It's fine.
Of course, the Riot Quest model we're all waiting for is the pig tank.
Oh, yeah. And the pig tank is, in fact, a minion solo that works for trolls and is partisan troll bloods.
Oh, nice. So, and it's also not a character, so you can take multiples in hordes, correct?
The current goal is that it will come in one blister or however it's going to be packaged, and that it'll have the character version and then a closed hatch for the non-character version.
Oh, sure. Amazing.
Awesome.
Amazing. I'm going to have... Is there an FA on them?
There is. I'm not going to tell you.
Sure. But the thing is, like, even let's say they're FA2 as a random number. That means, so with the character, you could buy three blisters and you'll have two of the character left over and one spare hatch that you can definitely use as bits on whatever the heck you want.
Well, and we can then do the McKay and two Rayless Interceptors versus the pig and the two little pigs.
Oh, of course.
Or if they FAU, that would be amazing. So then you could have a whole fleet.
I will try for FAU for you. It's not going to happen, yes. But I will push for it.
Oh, my God.
It will be a non-starter.
There, and that will cover Andy's need to start playing historicals because he's too old. So.
Yeah, I need Tuffalos and tanks. That's what I need.
I hope so, too. But, a lot of the several of the solos were on the last solicitations. You have Wolf with No Name, who's a skinwalker with a gun.
Which is an awesome model.
A minion solo that works for Circle and is partisan Circle. And there was, let me see, I think there was Crawtooth. Crawtooth is going to be more, he can be taken in Will for Food, but he'll be better for Blindwater. Who else was, good enough. I don't want to screw up.
Sure. Yeah, somebody new in the chat was asking about something you already mentioned, so I'm just going to recap for some of the new watchers, is that the Boom Howlers and Bull as well. It was Blythe and Bull, you said, right? Yeah. Are getting partisan trolls, so that's the change to Boom Howler.
For those Boom Howler 1 and 2. Yeah, both the unit and the solo that's coming out.
Yeah, and then I forget, I'm pretty sure that she was fully spoiled with all of her stats and everything, so feel free to just repeat stuff that I clearly already know, but what were the rules on Helga 2 again?
She exists. She's on a bicycle.
All right. Yeah.
And she is on a bicycle.
Ah, okay, cool. Cool. That's the full rules. The card just says on a bicycle.
You're 100% correct. It's just all the way down, it just says bicycle. Yeah. I mean, here's what I'll tell you. The front tire is a giant meat thresher tire. So there you go.
Perfect.
That's what you get to know.
I am going to mod mine to just play that Queen song constantly just while she's moving around.
She does have a biker chain. Yes. So
does she believe in safety? Does she have a biker helmet?
I mean,
little pickle house.
Does Helga have horns?
No, I don't think so.
No, she's got the horned helmet.
Well, that was the helmet, yeah, because she's like an opera Valkyrie, so she had the Valkyrie helmet, yeah.
Okay.
So I don't even know if I've seen the concept art for Helga yet, but I know what she's supposed to look like. So
beautiful. Were there any other tangential minion spoilers on this one?
A lot of the spoilers have already happened for Pharaoh.
Sure.
Right?
Of course.
Three of the war beasts are going down in points. Aggression dial, all of the aggression dials type of abilities don't require fury anymore. They still do damage to you, but they don't take fury, which is a massive upgrade to all of this.
Nate, absolutely.
I say Nate needs a new cause.
Nathan is vibrating over here.
Yeah. Well, my two things that I've been pushing for years, both have been spoiled. It's happening, which is that the pig dials do not require the force. And the other thing, which actually as a feral player, I'm really excited about because, Raluk?
Raluk.
Yeah, more claw. The ability for jacked marshals, the jacks that are being controlled by a jack marshal to shake on their activation as like a super shake that gets rid of everything all at once is exactly what jack marshals have needed for two editions now to make them so viable because they're fun to run. People want to run jack marshals, but then they put a list, they run their jack marshals, somebody knocks their jack down, and then they throw their jack marshal in the garbage. Right, because it's such a negative play experience. This now you have counterplay and it's opens them wide open.
Well, and they double fixed it too because now jack marshals don't hurt you for spending the points on the jack.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and the changes for Mark III were a step in the right direction, but this is a further past the finish line.
Yeah.
Mark III changes got ranged jack marshals back in the game. This gets all jack marshals back in the game.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm actually interested in running Marshal Jack in Legions of Dawn with the benefit that they get flank in that theme now, and with all of the stuff stacked together, and the fact that jack marshals are no longer actively worse than being in the battle group, it seems to be perfectly playable now.
Well, looking at Will Work for Food right now, I'm really thinking of Moorclaw with a mangler as one of my free solos. Just put him in there, you know, because you're not losing out on those beast like extra 2 inches like we had before. That mangler, he can get up there, he can thresher with the +2 to hit on all those threshers, and I mean, you're not penalized as heavily as you were. I've been excited to do something like that, and this opens that up for me.
I actually kind of like the idea of Moorclaw with a swabber, because Moorclaw gives them assault. Mm-hmm. So this swabber can charge forward, pull the thing in, and then make a charge attack at it, which is really weird. It's a weird timing shenanigans and hilarious.
Sure.
We have Jeff in chat saying rep players are still salty. Yes, rep players are still salty. No, I don't understand why, because with the changes, you're going to want to take more harpies, because of course harpies are amazing. And if you're taking harpies beyond your battle group with Shake as a Jack Marshall ability, there is now no real opportunity cost for doing so, and they get flank. So this seems to me to be a substantial buff for the theme. And I mean, honestly, I'm a big fan of going combined arms anyway, and this just says, hey, run your ret list combined arms, and I think this is great.
Yeah, I mean, one of the only downsides to Jack Marshals currently is that unless you have access to Empower, they don't get focus. If you have access to Empower, right, like, that is a Jack Marshall flanking War Jack with a Jack Marshall ability with full focus, like, that thing can just walk up and, you know, if it's like a particularly strong heavy or even a light can kill a heavy or a heavy can kill a colossal, right? Like, it's way better than people think it is. It's hard to set up, don't get me wrong.
Now, chat's discussing your great plan about the assault in, just to double check whether this was an accidental change or maybe just it doesn't work quite the same way. But they were saying with the ruling with Icos's feet would be if you charge something, it's out of range, and then you drag it in, it's too late. You already failed your charge, and you wouldn't get the attack.
Oh, you know what? That is true. Yeah. You're 100% right. Yeah. That's absolutely true.
Sexy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still, though, so
I was thinking about that myself, and I had never actually done it yet. Yeah. And I was like, oh, man, I should do that.
Well, now you know why you don't.
Doesn't work.
Congratulations. You now play Kirk's.
Yeah, Barsky is saying harpies with aiming and putting two POW 15 gun chops with take aim is no joke, and this is true. I mean, this is legitimately once Shake is available, and the fact that we have this nice boost on melee, marshaled harpies are good now in Legions of Dawn, and I don't understand why there is salt on this. But it's you add the vulnerability of killing the Jack Marshall, but they're really solid now.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess but the
even
only
if
thing
you kill the Jack Marshall, it's still an autonomous Jack.
Yeah,
can still gain focus. Right, it's not the worst thing ever.
If you're doing a range jack, your Jack Marshall can be whatever the range of a harpy is, plus the base size of a harpy, plus the command range of that Jack Marshall away from your opponent's army.
Yeah.
If they're dying there, oh well. I mean, what did your opponent bypass to get to that guy?
24 POW 12 weapon masters.
Yeah.
Well, so realistically, okay, two huge bases.
Take your pick. Either is a correct answer.
So the answer is just announce 24.
Yeah.
24 Power Temple of the Messenger.
Yeah, okay. Also, as they also
as long as you've announced that, it's over. It's done.
Behind
There's no more conversation.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah, I'm so excited about the Will Work for Food changes.
Yeah, Will Work for Food is going to be a very diverse army, and I'm hoping that we'll see some Pharaoh locks want to go in there. Pharaoh always has the problem of a lot of the Pharaoh rules specifically name Pharaoh, so you end up not getting as much synergy, but Will Work for Food's really good and gives their War Beast overtake, and it makes Pharaoh War Beast real good.
Yeah.
So...
Well, and again, as David was talking about, and we've all been talking about the combined arms option, like theme forces, especially in minions, you either as a pig player or even with minions, because they had the blind water, you had either with Thornfall or blind water, you had your list that wanted to be nothing but infantry. And then with Will Work for Food, you had your list that wanted to be nothing but beasts. And so trying to have a combined arms list was just disastrous.
Yeah.
Also, just go ahead.
And so they're both, all three of those lists are opened up with the ability to do combined arms at this point.
Oh yeah, and I will say also, I mean, this applies across the entire game, because I know Barsky's on chat, and I know he is also a heavily appreciates Krios 3 like I do, and every time I try to build Krios 3, it's in a combined arms list, and I feel bad because I have to lose the free card, but now I don't have to lose the free card, so I am hyped for Kree Horse coming back, or actually getting here for the first time, or something.
So true. Yeah, one of the, just on Friday, I was playtesting with Will Work for Food, and because we needed a playtest, you know, into the future for all of these Riot Quest models that are coming, I went, okay, I'm going to play Will Work for Food with 10 solos, and it was the weirdest army ever, because everybody was doing a different thing, and I was so confused. But it's a ton of fun. It is absolutely super fun to have all these weird solos doing weird stuff. I should have taken two solos out and put in a couple of units, but... It was still absolutely hilarious.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. So excited.
Yay.
Yeah, so I guess if that's all of the spoilers that we can wring out of you so far, we could definitely move on to the Zappity Grumble questions that the listeners and viewers now have, and then the ones that you got on Facebook, Andy.
Oh, God, there's so many.
Yeah, well, let's get to them. It's a lightning round.
Am I the one reading them? Or is Dan got it?
Dan's
I will look up the Facebook ones if you want to stall and get me some chat ones.
I got one. I think there was one at the top of the chat, and there's one right there.
Okay.
Well, Rick's got the important one right there.
Okay, Zappity, favorite Minions caster, Morvana 1.
Oh, man. Her with three full units of Brigands in Secret Masters currently. I don't know how it works with the... I don't think... Has that been spoiled yet, the new Secret Masters?
It can't be worked. I don't remember.
The point is, Morvana 1 with three full units of Brigands is so good. Oh, everybody's sleeping on Brigands. They're so good, guys. Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to go that way, then the answer is Kallus 2. But
Or Grim. Which Grim has mortality? Is that Grim 2?
Grim 2.
Grim 2. Grim 2 is also. Anyway, to stick in Minions.
Helvet 2 is going to run the hell out of some Brigands, let me tell you.
Then I am super excited. But I love my boy Arcadius. Yeah, he's my go-to. I love Arcadius so much.
Midas
is also fun.
Just because you always come up with the dumbest lists for him, and they're glorious.
One of my most glorious moments in my whole War Machine Hordes career was the moment that I got to cast Fate Walker off of Malakarn with Midas. Midas charging and killing Malakarn, and then casting Malakarn's Animus to get to safety felt so good.
If I'm going for my favorite Minions caster, it's probably not for quality, but I just love the model. I love the idea of him. I like the fact that he is basically the Gator Testament, which is Malak.
Sure.
I mean, that's pretty much what he seems like to me, is just a version of Testament.
Yeah. And there's also something to be said for probably the strongest Pharaoh caster, Arcadius.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who's getting so much better because of these beast changes.
So is that your pick, Arcadius?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Helga 2 technically, but I can't tell you what Helga 2 does.
Okay, but she's your favorite. That's fine. You don't have to tell us what she does, but if she's your favorite, that's just going to hype her up for me.
If you could pick one of your favorite abilities.
She's very different. Not surprising. She's on a motorcycle, but yeah.
All right. Perfect. Zappity.
I forgot that I was supposed to be looking stuff up.
Well, that's fine. You managed to forget to do stuff long enough for Dan to do the other stuff.
Correct. All right. Kieran Bolger asks, the Lance and Man Size rules. Why? Confusing and needless overcomplicated rules.
So man sized does technically matter because you can trample over them. And yeah, they are kind of meh as far as rules go. Like it's not that important. It doesn't happen that often. But, you know, it's just going to sit there because it's not causing any significant problems. Whereas the Lance rule is design space, right? Because we can design a weapon that's only usable on the charge. And that allows us to do something with that weapon, something different. Usually make it more powerful, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then man size, you know, the flip side, because otherwise you either don't have the man size rule or you have to take things like the book and wedge them onto this little 30mm base, and that's just awkward.
Or the book gets very weird.
Yeah.
And has to have extra health points so it's just not randomly shot to death.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone wants a 10-box Ancient Shroud model again.
Plus, it's hilarious when Baron Tunglich just takes a large base model off the table because you forget about that rule.
Yep.
I've definitely removed one book with a Swamp Troll.
Yeah.
Yep. It is hilarious.
Nope. But you could also do it with the Hyperion as well.
Sure.
Also, I have to interject for a second because Stuart in chat says, how does Morvana 1 even work with Brigands? The feat and most spells don't work on non-faction. Morvana 1 is the best mortality caster in the game because she can take Brigands in a theme where she can have multiple Wold Wardens in her battle group, which lets her geomancy mortality everywhere.
Brigands?
Brigands.
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 No, Brigands.
Brigands.
Sword? Sword?
It's a Mississippi thing.
Brigands. Yeah, no, what it is
Shy
is,
eel.
is prey plus debuff of your choice equals profit, right? Like, Brigands put out 22 attacks in a turn. That's going to rip stuff up once they have prey and a debuff on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Missing Task is pointing out Denny 3. Because I mean, basically, more of one, but Denny 3 gets more on her feet turn guaranteed. In the current meta, getting all of those souls can be difficult, but Morvana 1 just casts it nonstop with all of her geomancies.
Okay, so the obvious thing we need to do, and Faye, I'm sure you can make this happen, is at Gen Con, we need an event where everyone just has to bring a caster of their choice and three full units of Brigands.
Nope.
And
Brigands.
Brigands. So everybody has to bring a caster of their choice and 33 Brigands, and we'll just see who wins, and that'll settle all of War Machine forever.
But this is Hordes.
Sounds like literally the worst thing ever.
I mean, fair.
Oh my god. I'm also not going to Gen Con. I'm the emergency backup, so sorry.
Okay, so if I like kneecap Hungerford, then you'll come?
Yes.
Okay.
But you have to kneecap Hungerford here in Seattle.
On it.
Yeah. It should be about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I can make it there.
Yeah.
I'm in Oregon right now.
Yeah, Nathan is actually Skyped in right now, too.
That's true. This is all CGI.
Oh, that's CGI also. You guys got really good at that.
Yeah, you know, Wisconsin tech. All right, what's next?
No tech.
All right.
Wow, hurtful.
All my computers are not run on potatoes.
It's cheese.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, in Mario and Rabbids, who is best three to use and level up?
Obviously, it is Luigi, Rabid Luigi, and it doesn't matter. You have two Luigis.
Or as a child, when I called them Lugies.
Hurtful. As a younger sibling, when we played the original Super Mario Brothers, I was always stuck with Luigi, sure. So I have an affinity with him.
I have no idea.
That's hurtful.
I mean, your logic is sound.
Like,
can you put
Mario.
A Yoshi in there, too?
I don't think... No, Yoshi's not an option, I don't think.
I haven't played it enough to...
I don't think Yoshi is a character in the... No. Faye, have you played the Mario and the Rabbids?
I have not.
Oh, it's basically XCOM, but in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah. But truth be told, I've had zero time to play. I'm really looking forward to Fire Emblem in Three Houses. I'm going to make time to play that game, but that's that's been it.
Yes, I am looking forward to the new Fire Emblem.
Yep.
Apparently Yoshi is in the game, but you're stuck with normal Mario. So the answer is Mario, Luigi, and Rabbid Luigi. Or Mario, Yoshi, and Rabbid Yoshi. Zappity.
Grumble. All right. Why is it that models behind a forest can't be seen, Models in a forest are harder to shoot, but models halfway in between get nothing.
Halfway in between?
So
what do they mean by that?
I think they're talking about if you're partially within a forest, you get nothing. If you're fully within a forest, you get concealment.
Yeah. Attacking model, nine inches of forest, and then the defending model barely in the forest on the other side, the defending model has no benefit. Or, you know.
The answer to the question is that if trees didn't block line of sight, we need other line of sight blocking terrain, because line of sight blocking terrain is a fundamental mechanism for this game, right? There should be one line of sight blocking piece of terrain somewhere near the middle. That can be a house, it can be a tree, it can be, you know, a sufficiently weird thing that blocks line of sight, but there should be something, and there should be more than one piece. And that's pretty much the reason, right? That's the reason gameplay-wise, and the reason rules-wise is that it's just easier to say you can't.
Yeah, because if somebody towing in on the back of the forest, if towing in becomes a thing, then either you're towing in a forest that's behind you and that makes no logical sense, or you have to make it so like, well, the line of sight has to go through at least X percentage of the forest in, for you to get the benefit, and then you get into this, it's just rules arguments.
We're back to math, and so, we've proven that gamers cannot spell and cannot do math.
Correct. So clean play is more important than logic. Deal with it is my answer, but I don't work for Privateer Press, but that's what I tell people when they complain. Playing at events.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of narrative that we want on the board. You know, like both Oz and I really push for 3D terrain, but we want 3D terrain that's not going to screw up people's games because 3D terrain looks better. But if it also is like a hill and you keep on falling off of it, it's terrible. And the nice thing about trees is you can have the trees there and then remove them while the unit isn't there and then put them back.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just, it's a really useful area terrain. It's really useful to have area terrain because it makes it very simple to understand how the rule works without having to have, you know, four paragraphs of rules.
Yep. Zappity.
Rumble.
All right. This is going to be a fun mental exercise. Oh, on God. A scale of Dreadfleet to Space Hulk, how impactful will Riot Quest be?
So here's my quick answer to that is, number one, Dreadfleet and Space Hulk were not additions onto an already franchise system.
Yeah, that's the unique thing about Riot Quest. Yep. Like, I can't think of any other like side game in a miniatures game where it's its own side game, but also the minis come into the main game. It's not like I can play my Blood Bowl miniatures in Warhammer Fantasy.
Correct. But there is a side game that the Games Workshop made, though, too. It's Night Vault or something like that.
Maybe? I think so.
Shadespire is it. So the models that you use in Shadespire, you can use in like Age of Sigmar or whatever.
The fairly recent Space Hulk from about 5 years ago had minis that were legal in 40K.
That was 10 years ago.
It was a while ago. Okay. I think it might almost be 15.
Quest, Riot Quest, because, I mean, somebody in your group's going to buy it, right? Because mm-hmm. somebody's going to want a Haymus, and somebody's going to want, you know, some other model. Like, if nothing else, it's going to be like Iron Kingdoms or Iron Company.
Company of Iron,
Jesus, where you're going to buy it because you want at least some of the stuff in it, and then you have it, right? And it's such a, from the demos that people were playing, it's so quick and easy. Like, you finish your event at, like, War Machine Weekend or Warfare Weekend, it is now, it's 10 o'clock at night, you're going to crack some beards, and you're just going to play Riot Quest for 2 hours.
I mean, that's absolutely the point of Riot Quest, is right. It's supposed to be the simpler game that's a lot faster, that's chaotic, that's fun, right? And, you know, we have models planned for Riot Quest through 2020, right? Like, it's not like some of our board games in the past where, you know, it was just meant to be the board game and the expansion, and that was supposed to pretty much be it. We have 36 models in development right now. Like, we've got a ton of models in development. Like, we've been playtesting Riot Quest for months, and the nice thing about playtesting a game that lasts 30 minutes is you can get in four games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have you guys, and I don't know if this was discussed or can be discussed or whatever, but I'm curious about, so obviously all the Riot Quest models are going to be War Machine playable. Has there been thought into releasing rules for current War Machine and Hordes models to make them Riot Quest playable?
We do not plan to do that.
Okay.
Hmm.
I mean, from, yeah, it'd be neat.
You just have the Lord of the Feast, basically, just, I get all the treasure.
Quiet, you. Oh, well.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you guys the real answer. It's mostly capitalism, right?
Yeah.
It's a game. We need you guys to buy things. We're a company.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, even if you if somebody has no interest in playing Riot Quest, like you said, it's capitalism. Like, I can, High Command doesn't interest me, I don't buy High Command. But if I want to play Helga 2, or if I want to play, well, especially the core ones, like I said, like Haymus, I got to buy that Riot Quest. And then once I own it, what the hell? I'll play it with my buddies.
Yeah, I also think Riot Quest is just a great game. Like, if you've played a game of War Machine, and you've got 2 hours left in the day, and you don't want to start another game, you go to Riot Quest, right? Riot Quest is tons of fun. It's really quick. I'm actually really looking forward to weird tournament play in Riot Quest, because I think we've got some crazy ideas for, like, how to do, like, pods of people and stuff like that. And we have to wait a little while for more models to come out, because you can't do it with, like, only 10 models out. It doesn't work, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned something that we've had a problem with in town is, so we used to, our game night used to start at 4 because we had a bunch of people that got off work early, and just over time that's kind of changed, and now we really don't get games going until 6 o'clock now, so getting that second game in before the store closes at 10 can be challenging, so having a secondary game that is just like, oh, cool, we get my game of War Machine in, then I can play one or two games of Riot Quest and still be home by 9:30.
Yeah. Or the flip side, let's say you got 20 people that play every weekend Wednesday at your local game night, right? And 18 of them show at 6 o'clock, but just two people show up at 4 because they're the ones who end every morning. They either have to, or they show up at 5, right?
Yeah.
So they got an hour to kill. So either they do nothing for an hour, or those two people are stuck playing against each other every single Wednesday week. For the rest of their life.
Yeah. Correct.
So with Riot Quest, it's an easy way to kill some time before everyone else shows up and say, cool, now some more people are here, let's split off and play against some new opponents.
Correct. Or, the first person showed up, yeah, just throw some models and we'll see what happens.
Also, Riot Quest is just fun, so play it. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't have to be an excuse of when you got time to kill. And so, because it has a lot of very similar mechanics to Monpok, for people who have the white die, blue die, red die mechanic down. And so,
it's good. Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, white dice are your actions, right? That's just like in Monpok, and it's a little different because you do a lot more crazy things with your white dice. You know, it's not just like moving and shooting. But Riot Quest also. Our goal with Riot Quest is not only to target the War Machine audience, right? It's to target new audiences, because we need to branch out and find new audiences out there. So, but we definitely want to target both, right? So,
and then just a side note on that, with white dice being action dice, I know it works very well against Travis. So if you want to annoy Travis, because blue dice are your boost dice, you can call them bloost dice, and he hates it. So. You got that going for you. Feel free to try it on people like Oz and Hungerford and see if it annoys them as well. It's very handy.
I'm 100% sure it'll annoy them.
There you go. So Bloost Dice is my gift today to you.
Yay.
Next.
All right. Next two I'm going to actually combine because they're basically the same question. Did the Hooch Hauler get any love, and what balances are coming for the poor rest of the unloved troll boys? I think we covered some of that already.
There was a lot of bonus stuff, like the hill for Janessa.
But just if there's anything else you want to add into that, Faye, or just...
Yeah, so, I mean, there is some other things that I would like to say about it. So the Hooch Hauler didn't receive any love. It wasn't ever going to receive any love, because it's a new enough model that we weren't going to touch it unless it was, like, completely performing wrong or overpowered or something. Like, if it was a new model, it had to be performing at 120%, or it had to be performing at 0% for us to touch it, because we didn't want to touch new models. Right. That was kind of an intent when we came in. That being said, there are, like, not only do we have a list of changes that are going live at Gen Con, hopefully if the work gets done in time, we have a lot of work in front of us. But we also have, like, there's already a new list of changes starting that I just put three things on that list for trolls, right? And we're going to play test them and see how they feel. But a lot of the time, there almost certainly will not be another balance update unless there's something super critical that needs to be done anytime in the near future, right? Because we want to see where the meta goes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So salt can be annoying, but sometimes people are artists with their salt, and so it's worth appreciating the art despite the salt. So I want to shout out to the person in chat who, regarding the Hooch Howlers not getting any love, said that that is a big disappointment for the three Victorian-era billionaires who sold half their world-spanning whaling conglomerates to afford a Hooch Howler.
There are stories I can tell about the Hooch Howlers production that I am not allowed to tell. So they have to be in groups of people that I could trust to keep it secret, and that doesn't include a podcast. But yeah, suffice to say, the production of the Hooch Howler did not go swimmingly.
Well, it's got 50 plus pieces on there too, sure. And most of those are all resin.
I heard Davis bitch for an entire tournament while he was putting together while playing it.
I'd also like to point out that Barsky is Swedish, and that means that it actually cost $2 billion there.
Yeah. We did set up for as long as the UK is in the EU, which I don't know, it might end tomorrow. We just set up, we just send Black Anchor stuff to the EU, and then the EU sends it to, or the UK, and then the UK sends it to everywhere in the EU. So it's not quite as bad as it used to be, but we'll see how long that lasts.
And it's one of the, you know, because it's a good and bad thing. Like, Privateer Press doesn't charge for models based on how good they are. They charge for models based on actual factual,
how much,
you know, what it material. Costs them, you know, material or other stuff that might come into it. And so sometimes that's great because you're getting these great models for $10 because they're cheap to create. And sometimes you have to pay a lot for a Hooch Howler. I know the current thing is a lot of Monsterpocalypse players feel really bad, you know, spending $20-something on a building. And it's like, yeah, but I mean, it is what it is, you know?
It is a fair statement. Correct. Like, it can still feel bad, but at least it's logical. It's not back in ye olde GAW games where it's like, all right, so I need 5 of these and they're $75 a piece. And
just because they're good.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, if we could have made the Montauk buildings cheaper, we probably would have, but
yeah.
It is. You know what? Once you buy a Monpok building, it's a great investment because it's faction universal. So that one build, you know, you're fine, right? It's one of the most reusable models in a miniatures game. So you're okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And unless you're like power gaming Monpok, you probably shouldn't be power gaming Monpok, guys. Like, that isn't the game.
Have you been to Wisconsin?
But like, you really need one or two of the buildings that you like. Not every building, just the ones that you like. Right. Yeah. Like, it's not as bad. I mean, it sucks, right? It sucks having to dump $100 into buildings, but.
But I mean, I've dumped $100 into a unit of Boomhauers, right? I mean, I've dumped $100 into a less significant percentage of my fieldable army before.
Come on, Nathan, at that last event you run, there were more Shadow Sun buildings than monsters there.
Well, that is true. like I said, our current meta does have a gigantic love affair with the Shadow Sun building.
Well, and it doesn't help that Ubercore is Shadow Sun 2.0 at this point because they also love Shadow Sun buildings.
I'm just saying, like, Zor Maxim standing in the middle of the field, and a flower comes flying out of his crotch, and then monkeys start flying out of the flower and shooting rockets into my back line, can go to hell?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know,
like, screw you.
We're redesigning Monpok. No, we would make fine. Some, there's, I think, 2 buildings, I bet you can't guess what they are, that we would probably do at least something about. But we don't plan to do that anytime soon because we don't want to, you know, Monpok is supposed to be a little bit more of a casual game. We don't want to be putting out a ton of updates for it.
Yeah. And if you don't like people stealing your buildings with an Imperial State building, just bring one of your own so that they'll have 2.
Yeah. I mean, Oz did say, he did say at the Monpok dev at Lock and Load, the thing he would have done with the Imperial State building is it would have cost a power die.
Yep. Yeah, and it's fine, because like you said, not every game is supposed to be, you know, played in diehard tournaments for money.
Yeah, and there are counters, right? If there was no counter at all, like it was just you lost the game because this building existed, that's probably the line that would have been crossed, right? That we would have had to make some changes.
Yep. Perfect. Zappity.
All right, last one from Facebook. Does adding Shake to Jack Marshalls make anyone, apart from Rhett, consider taking them?
As me. I said,
yeah. Overseether.
Yeah.
Overseether.
Oh, I mean, I played them, the Overseer and the Seether, before this change.
Yeah.
Now they don't randomly fall over. Like, this is even better.
Does Seethers still get a free focus like they used to? Or
They charge for free and have Berserk. So
right, but that doesn't give them the shake, which they now have got.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there's a new Jack Marshall coming out in the Riot Quest stuff, McCorn 2. She's going to be a Jack Marshall, and let me tell you, I'm going to feel there is a Jack Marshall with a Jack all the effing time, because she's amazing.
Her first version that I always liked, she was amazing as well.
Yeah.
It's just hard to keep her alive in the... with the
not a problem anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not perfect. With McCorn, too.
Nice. So we do have more.
So get
more from
chat.
Facebook. Please. No, I can't search chat.
Nuts to you, chat.
Sorry.
Right. Facebook 2.0. If you're still in chat and your question was important, post it again because we're too lazy to scroll.
It's a lot
of
scrolling.
See how that scrolling is?
We have a lot
of people up there.
It's worthwhile laziness.
All right. So these will go by pretty quick. If I don't drop my mouse all the time. So what is your opinion of Jarl Skuld? And do you think he'll see play in the remix or after the remix?
I really hope so. One of those models that I put on my list of things to change, that if I got my end all be all of things that I wanted to change, was something with Jarl Skuld, but that's all I can say about that. But I think that he's really viable. I really like a lot of units that people don't like with Jarl. So I never know how to deal with the absolute hatred that there is for Highwaymen, because I have nothing but success with Highwaymen. So I don't know.
Now, what about the Jarl nerf where his axe is no longer named sword?
That was my favorite similar thing we've ever handed out, and I think we should all acknowledge the fact that trolls are cheated. And
I love that. What's old man turns angry in Circle?
Cromac.
I love that Cromac's weapons, instead of having a weapon named Dawn and a weapon named Dusk, he has two weapons named Dawn and Dusk on the card. it saves card space.
Does it?
No. But that's okay. He's got Dawn and Dusk and Dawn and Dusk.
All right, Zabity, and then Grumble. Also, Beefcake Xerxes, one model in the mini crate. Is this a possibility?
Yes.
I know that he was in the original thing. I'm thinking through the next 6 months, because I know them all off the top of my head, because I'm a nerd and I'm not going to say anything.
Can I?
Because I don't remember enough. So
can I get you on the train of Andy to have a Rush Chef model?
We were toying with horrible ideas for Rush Chef 2 because of Riot Quest, because we could do ridiculous things.
Yeah.
And it's fun. The most fun thing to do in the dev office is sit down when Hungerford's throwing out insane ideas for Riot Quest, because they're hilarious. Mm. I really want to record them at one point and have us play them, because it's great. Granted, the dev office is not nearly as PC as it should be, so...
That's all right. Well,
yeah.
This is the first podcast we've ever had where I haven't sworn at least 30 times.
Yes, I found that out last week from driving back from Maryland with my 3-year-old.
Yeah, well, you know. Your 3-year-old should not recognize profanity. If they do, that's your fault.
That wasn't the part that I didn't want him repeating.
Fair.
Yeah, I listened to your last episode, and other than some good comments that I appreciated, I was like, oh god, I'm so glad they swear, because I don't know if I can go 2 hours without swearing. Oh.
Yeah.
I will say, the first time I ever listened to Crippled System, I downloaded the podcast and was driving my family back from Chicago. And it's like about 10 minutes in, it's like, okay, we're doing something else.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so Zappity on that one.
All right. There's just a whole bunch of questions from one person.
that person's greedy. Yeah. All right. We're going full rapid fire mode.
All right. Are any warlocks changing in the dynamic update? Perhaps some of those closely associated with the Creel Company.
Let me think. No.
Boom.
Certainly not in Creel Company.
Okay.
Next.
I'm thinking full stop, and I think the answer is no. We tried not to change Warlocks or Warcasters because Warlocks and Warcasters require way more playtesting. And we already had a ton of models in playtest. And trying to fix something as complicated as a Warcaster or Warlock with a light touch is very difficult.
Yep.
Zappity.
Describe the nature of Trollblood shorting lists versus those of another faction.
So, you mean like the way that they're fundamentally different?
I'm assuming that's shooting.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Well, what's nope, shorting it says list? Shorting list. So like when they buy stock that they don't have money for.
Yeah.
So when they do short stock.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So a lot of what KC ends up wanting to do is get up in people's faces and do shooting. A lot of the units are able to do that. Highwaymen, and highwaymen, people always complain about them being rat five in gunfighter, but gunfighter is not a melee attack and they have marked target. So they're rat seven.
Yeah.
If you have access to a solo, a whelp goes over there, they're rat seven in combat. So like, I keep on seeing that like, rat five. Nope. Gunfighter attacks are still range attacks, guys. But like, scatter gunners, the war wagon, obviously, like there's a lot of stuff that's meant to get up in people's faces and meant to stay there and be consistent shooting. And then you're supposed to have a couple of backline things, and it's very, very different from every other shooting army because it's so forward and aggressive, and trying to play a very passive Krill Company army will not work.
Perfect. Next.
All right. I got one. I'm going to try to narrow these down because there's just a lot on there. I'm going to call them out. Jeremy Patterson asks.
That's enough out of Jeremy. He gets one more. Pick his best other question, and then we're done with Zombie Dude.
No, that was somebody else.
Never mind.
Had all the spam. This is Zombie Dude's first one.
Still, just the one.
Just the one, that's it? All right. Will the Skinner get Weapon Master?
So, here's the spoiler. Skinner's down to 3 points. Boom! There you go.
Yeah. There you go. See?
Yeah, Weapon Master that.
Boosh.
All right. Yeah, there's just so many in here.
I think that Skinner is good at 3 points.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
3 points is cheap.
Do you remember that really annoying Madrak 1 list Jeff had with Mountain King and 4 Skinners that you can never kill anything in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think our resident troll person will be very happy to read about a lot of these new changes.
Yeah, he's famous for doing outside-the-box clever thinking, which is one of those things we talked about, the requisition system opening up those choices. So
yeah, he would always have to have a Mountain King with surrounded by Skinners.
Yeah.
With Madrak, so they would have sure feet.
Yeah.
Because the Mountain King would have sure feet on him.
Yeah, those Skinners were surprisingly difficult to take down.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was surprisingly difficult to get to that Mountain King through those Skinners. All right, let's do some chat questions. There were some good questions in chat.
There was? Okay.
Yeah, scroll up just a little. A little more. Perfect. You can see Rick with the, So, any Iron Kingdom news to come?
There's no Iron Kingdom news. I know that we want to do more, but it's just a matter of, our ability to do it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, like from my understanding, from the outside looking in, I mean, there's a lot of the folks that handled that are no longer with Privateer.
Sure, one, they're focusing on like the Abadian change and stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so Zappity, scatter gunners or highwaymen with the new marked target benefit?
Scatter gunners.
Both?
I would argue for highwaymen, but I love myself Kalandra. Kalandra, Befuddle, highwaymen, it's stupid and silly.
Yeah. All right. Who would you playing in Power of Dunia now with the changes? There's a sentence in there.
Yeah, no, I understood the sentence. I've always... So back in Mark II, I was a fast enough player to play in hardcore. And I lost, I think, the last hardcore tournament at Lock and Load to the Mirror It was Horlock 2 versus Horlock 2, and I lost on misjudging a charge by less than a tenth of an inch. And, you know, it was that, it was painful. And he went on to win, and we were in the third round. So it was a Horlock mirror latch, and then he went on to win. And I'm like, God damn it, if I didn't misjudge that charge.
I mean, like, aren't all of the Doom Shapers now good in POD?
Oh, yes.
Well, all the Doom Shapers
Doom
are
Shaper
good.
3.
Yeah. Full stop.
Loves the fact that Rogue Shapers are viable.
Yeah. Any cool interactions with Horgul 1 in playtesting?
Nothing super crazy. I do actually really like Horgul 1 running a Pirate Troll or Slave Troll in Krill Company. In Power of Dunia. Just because, especially if you're running with a lighter warlock, like you're running with a Madrak or you know a 6 fury warlock, he can keep you from putting out as much fury. But at the same time, they got a ton of new fury management. So,
is Trolls getting a take all the minions list?
They are not getting a take all the minions list. Yeah, sorry,
that's all right. Here, we have a non-War Machine one. If Macho Man Randy Savage were in a J.K. Rowling book, would he be gay?
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
I'm going no, because there would be indications within the text that he was gay, so he wouldn't just be completely retconned.
The real question is, at the time of writing or 20 years later?
Yeah, valid. Basically, is Savage retconned into that.
No, Macho Man Randy Savage is a dragon, as anyone who's played Skyrim knows.
Yeah, I am 100% certain with her recent shenanigans that she would, like, retcon him as, like, non-binary or something crazy. Like,
sure.
Just whatever. He's whatever. It's like, okay, great.
Macho, he'd be macho non-binary Randy Savage. She'd change the man to non-binary. let's see. World needs to buffer. We need a character wrestler called the Rockodile.
Let me go back up.
Riot Quest, it's perfect timing for that.
Let me go back up. Zappity, any Kador stuff. Have you seen the spoil Jaws of the Wolf? And do you recognize that faction has Irrusk 2 in it, and Jaws of the Wolf has models that Irrusk 2 absolutely loves to buff, and Irrusk 2 now gets a forest to place wherever he wants? Yes, there's Kador stuff.
Yeah.
And there's probably more stuff coming, too.
Kador, they also have one of the only advanced moves in the game.
Yeah.
It's them, it's Kador, it's Manowar, and... dwarfs, which you guys will see soon. I know Oz wrote a dwarf spoiler, so it'll be coming out eventually.
So, speaking of salt, somebody asks, why can't Creel warriors be taken in Creel company? And my thought is that Creel warriors would be takeable in Creel nonprofit, but not in Creel company.
They're much more of a collective.
Oh my god. I do not understand this argument. It makes no sense to me. I understand that they both have the name Creel in them.
No, but you see, just because the word Creel's there, they have to be allowed. That's logic.
I mean, come on, they allow Creel stones.
Game design has no space within the world of pedantry where two things both have Creel in their name.
Yeah, I guess. I guess you're right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, do they... But all trolls are organized into Creels, like... Just because they're named Creel Warriors and one's named Creel Company.
It's logic. It's logic. You're wrong. Change the game.
You're right. I'm sorry.
If they complain enough, you're obligated to change it. That's how it works.
The internet has told me in a very shouting voice.
All right. Why don't we...
Well, you know who's not good at taking the internet's recommendations? Souls.
All right. And I think that's pretty much all it in chat. So
there was a dude asking about minion battle engines in Circle.
Okay, let's see this. Last one from chat. Minion battle engines in a Circle theme like Secret Masters. My Sacral Vault is the most beautifully painted model collecting dust because I no longer have a list to use it in since Theme Apocalypse.
I'd
recommend that person get a second Sacral Vault, also painted beautifully, and then buy Sturm and Drang and play Sturm double Sacral Vault, because TKing both those Sacral Vaults forward and making all your beasts have shield guards to defend them, it's It is wonderful.
And if you need to, you go into Drang and then Suicide.
Correct. But just Sturm Double Sacrovault is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. You put no charging on one of them. You've got shield guards protecting both of them. They're not going to get plinked to death. It's beautiful.
The answer is, according to this book that I have right here, no.
Oh, book says no. Sorry. Oh. Bye, Sturm.
Sorry. Book says no.
I mean, but who doesn't want a two-headed Pigotar anyway?
I'm sorry.
No, you're encouraging people. Well, you're not encouraging people, but I'm encouraging people to play pigs, and that's all that matters, is more pig players.
I mean, Pharaoh is going to be amazing, I think. I think that it's going to be very, very viable.
Yeah.
There's two more in chat.
If this Creel Warriors change goes through, can we get Black Ivan in Black Industries?
I mean,
the logic is sound.
Yeah, that is the logical conclusion to that bad logic.
If we extend that logical assumption, you're right. We should also put it's something named Masters, because that's going into Secret Masters, and then I don't know.
It'll be fine. Infernals and Circle. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Yep.
Makes sense. All undead models should go into Ghost Fleet. Just all of them.
Yeah.
There we go. We figured it out. We figured out how themes work, guys.
All right. Mark III is solved. Next question.
Mm-hmm. We figured it out. Perfect. Secret Masters of War. New theme.
Yeah. Next question is, when does the Creel Charity theme get spoiled?
So, recommendations time?
Yeah. Well, first I want to apologize to the folks that all posted for the Zappity Grumbles. There was a ton of them, and our podcast would be going 3 hours if we were to answer every single one of them.
And really, you should blame Jeremy Patterson, because we could have asked like 20 more if we didn't have to spend all that time on his Skinner question. So
yeah.
Fully, fully blame Jeremy Patterson. I recommend you all yell at him.
Yep.
Damn it, Jeremy. This is your fault.
So we should go to recommendations?
Yes.
All right. I'm just going to go first right away.
Okay.
Hey, this is a different Andy. I want to recommend Bloodstained, Ritual of the Night. It is an amazing game made by the folk who made Castlevania Symphony of the Night and all the DS games that came after that. It is a joy to play. It is actually the first game that I was able to platinum. I was able to platinum before Nathan, so that's good.
Because this is a race.
It became a race when I realized that I had 4 left, and I looked at Nathan, and I thought he had 4 left too.
Yeah, I did. I just had a friend visiting from out of town, so instead of playing it while I made my out of town visitor watch, I actually interacted with him like a fool, a foolish fool.
Yeah. But no, it is actually a really beautiful game. It plays very well.
And it takes all the best from those latter Castlevania games.
Yeah. If you like Castlevania, Metroidvania style games, this is it. I mean, it's one of the better Kickstarter games to be funded and released that actually is good.
It's might be better than Mighty No. 9.
It's
a real close race. One of them's terrible and one of them's amazing.
One of them was offered for free on the PlayStation Network that I did add to my library, but I've never downloaded and played.
It's the white choice.
Yeah. But, that's my recommendation.
All right. I would like to recommend another video game called Everspace. Everspace is a kind of space shooter thing. It's very much, if you ever played Freelancer back in the day, it's that kind of style of not quite correct physics in space, but it's this 3D space shooter type game, but it then has Dead Cells permanent unlock repeating thing, and the way they handle that is basically your character is a clone and you keep on getting recloned.
Spoilers.
I mean,
are you played by Sam Rockwell?
I don't.
Spoilers. Jesus.
At least mine was in the opening credits.
Okay.
But yeah, so you go through the mission, and then you eventually inevitably will die, or I guess eventually there is an end at some point, but I haven't gotten that far yet. But then you get a bunch of loot, and you unlock new ships or new level-up abilities, and there's a tech tree and stuff, and it's just kind of enjoyable.
I mean, it's a roguelike, so you know I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a little late because I bought it on the Steam sale while I was on vacation, but I got it for like $3 too, so...
I am going to, number one, do an aside for chat and mention that Shovel Knight is in Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. So that's a fun little thing, both as an enemy and as a sidekick. So,
but that's a summonable creature that you can get.
So you can have a little Shovel Knight with you. And armor. There's Shovel Knight armor you can wear.
I didn't try on the armor at all. I was wondering if maybe it actually changed your appearance to look like him.
I don't know. To look at it. But then I'm going to recommend something that's actually, you know, not particularly good, but it's trashy fun and you can half watch it while painting. And we all need that kind of stuff in our life, which is on Netflix. There's a game show called Awake. And the basic gist is that they have like 8 people and they make them stay awake for 24 hours. And then they make them do like physical and mental tasks and then eliminate them. And the last one left can win some stuff. Like in the first episode, for those 24 hours, they were counting quarters. And then they had to try to remember exactly how much money they had counted. And these people counted like the guy who ended up being the person in the finals had counted $33,000 worth of quarters in those 24 hours. Like, so they're just brain fried. And so number one, you get that fun thing where they're just like absolutely fried and you get to laugh with Schadenfreude. But there's actually an interesting mechanic in it that would work even out of that, where they'll have them all do like a physical challenge and none of them can see who won or lost the physical challenge. And then they'll say, all right, you know, Dan, you did the best. You're safe. You're going to the next round. Now, everybody else, I'll give you all the chance. If you want to just leave now for like $5,000, I'll give you $5,000. Whoever buzzes in and they can leave and they get $5,000. If nobody buzzes in, whoever did worst leaves with nothing. So you get this thing where, like, if you think you did terrible, you might as well take the $5,000. But if you think you did terrible, but you think that David, even though he didn't do worse than you, might think he did worse, maybe he'll take the $5,000 and leave. One of the people buzzed in just because he didn't care. He just wanted to go to sleep. So he just buzzed in so he could leave. So it's not, like, the best show I've ever seen. But you know what? For half watching while you're painting, it's good trash.
All right. I'm going to recommend
English, right?
Yeah, it's just on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems like one of those brutal, like, Japanese-style shows.
This sounds like one of your Korean game
shows. Yeah, it is not a South Korean game show. It is American.
This is actually, like, the third time I've recommended this. I'm going to recommend picking Dead Cells back up, because with all of the recent updates, that game keeps getting more fun.
Do we just need a Dead Cells podcast?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Andy, you guys can make
I thought
Dead
that
Cells
was called our Twitch stream.
Right? Jesus.
Which we talked about doing for a solid year now.
So. Yeah.
So, Faye, your recommendation.
I totally have a couple of recommendations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's
do it. Okay, wow,
so I'm a horrible anime nerd. Horrible anime nerd. So I'm going to recommend two animes that are both huge existential dread fun. ReZero, Starting Life in Another World. It's about a guy that whenever he dies, he resets to the safe point that he's most recently been at. And it's amazing. He dies in the most horrifying ways, and he goes insane partway through. It's great. It's perfect. And the other one is Made in Abyss.
Necessarily the same point every time, so it's not like a Groundhog's Day. He might make some progress.
Yes. Yeah, he eventually makes progress, and then, like, he'll get to a new safe point, and then he'll always reset to that safe point. But he just keeps on dying in horrible ways, and the people around him die in horrible ways, and he keeps on screwing things up. Like, he's... Yeah.
So it's kind of like Dark Souls.
He's a character that you kind of like and kind of hate at the same time.
Yeah, so it is Dark Souls.
Yeah. All right, ReZero. Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah, ReZero. And then Made in Abyss is about a girl that there's this thing called the Abyss. They live on the edge of the Abyss. Inside of the Abyss are horrible monsters that get progressively more horrible the further you go down, and also progressively more intelligent. And her mother is one of the most powerful delvers of this abyss. And on the first episode, her mother sends up a note to tell her to come to the bottom of the abyss. So it's just it's this insane journey about this girl and a robot boy going down progressively more insane challenges. And then if they ever want to give up, if they go up in the abyss, if they ever try to leave the abyss, they get progressively worse curses. So, like, the first layer is nausea. The second layer is vertigo and vomiting. The third layer is hallucinations. The fourth layer is bleeding from every pore. Yeah. The fifth layer is hallucinations that make you want to kill yourself. Yeah. It's great. It's perfect.
See, when you said that things got more and more horrible the further down they went, I was going to say, so it's like the American South. But then you said it got more intelligent as well, and that went right out the window.
And you also have, like, horrible monsters. Like, the worst monsters are the humans, obviously, because there's, you know, humans down there that have just lived in the abyss forever, and they're insane, right? They're just... it's amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
It's also got incredibly beautiful music.
Well, anime's fun. Everybody likes animes.
Mm-hmm.
All good and wholesome people. Hipsters like me, we just definitely watch Bubblegum Crisis and Wicked City all the time, but that's all right. All right, wonderful. Well, oh. I mean, so that's recommendation. So that, in theory, would be the end of everything. Although, obviously, want to give Faye, if you have anything last that you want to say before we kick you off our podcast forever.
What? No, yeah, look, Gen Con's coming up in a couple of weeks. Go get your toys, unless something insane happens. Sergeant Titanica will be there, and I want to sell a whole bunch of Sergeant Titanicas because she's the first model that I've really had, like, the chance to design from the start to finish. So
you got one sold in me at the very least. So
yeah, Travis, get on that.
Yeah, Travis, buy like 7 for all of Madison.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so very much, Faye, for being on. We super appreciate it. Super appreciate everything you could share. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to watch. And I think that is a wrap from us today. Thanks very much. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
See you all next week.